It's good to see everybody this morning. What a great God we serve. You know, I read this scripture in, this is one of the Torah readings last night. And I was just thinking about everything this morning, preparing for this morning. The Lord brought this back to my memory, how important it is that we stay alert for these upcoming special days that haven't been fulfilled yet. You know, we got Shavuot coming up this Saturday, Sunday, and we should be excited about that, because it tells us, you know, in Luke 12:35. It says, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their masters when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves when the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them, whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so. Blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. You know, we have to treat these feast days that's coming, that haven't been fulfilled, that these are one of the times that he's going to be coming. So we have to be on alert. Don't let our guard down. Just like the scripture said. You know, he's so amazing. So amazing. And I just love him and appreciate him for this opportunity to come here this morning and share this word with y'all. We're going to continue in the nature of man. We're going to talk about debt is unconsciousness. And we're going to talk about the resurrection. Brother Troy told me to stay up there. He said, because I don't go as long. But I told him, look, I got to walk around because that way I don't seem so nervous. So the nature of man, Pastor started this two Thursdays ago, and it's been powerful. I mean, it's been, you know, just like that song we just sang, one of the little sayings in is that we search for answers, but only that he can provide. And, you know, there's so many theories out there, so many sayings about where you're going after death. And the scripture explains it clearly for us, clearly. So we're going to get started. The nature of man. Debt is unconsciousness. His spirit departs, talking about man. He returns to the earth, us, men and women, not just men, in that every day his thoughts perish. Psalms 146:4. And in Ecclesiastes 9:5-6, it says, for the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. Indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. We will have no more say-so, no more say-so of what. That's why we should take every opportunity we get right now, to every chance we get, to glorify him, to praise him. Because the Bible says, once you sleep, there's no glorifying. We're going to read a scripture that tells us that there's no glorifying him. The dead cannot glorify God. So, you know, it's so amazing that right now that we get to, that we choose, just like Psalms 90:12 says. It says, teach us our ways. or our days. I wrote it down and I should have put it in this, but I didn't. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Teach me to number my days. That's what it says. Teach me to number my days. Ecclesiastes 9:10. No thinking and therefore no consciousness. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or nor planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. Every opportunity we get until that breath is going out of our body, we need to do it with all our might. God remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. It is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Psalms 103, 14 through 16. Listen what it says. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. I'm not going to say us, because we have been getting this teaching, so we know. But the world, you know, they might forget where they come from, but we don't. You know, the scripture plainly says that we are dust. And dust plus breath equals life. Psalms 103:16, when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. Debt is truly unconsciousness, even for the righteous. Is demonstrated by the repeated pleas of God's servants to allow their lives to be lenten, because they knew that after death they would be unable to praise and glorify God, seeing that debt was a state of unconsciousness. When that life is gone out of us, when our length of life comes to an end, there will be no more praising and glorifying God. And it kind of makes you sad, you know, because, man, I love edifying him. I love giving him praise and glory every opportunity I get, every day. Every day I tell him thank you for just whatever, everything, because he's so wonderful and so amazing. But, you know, we don't have to be sad, because we know that one day, that's all we're going to ever do and want to do is glorify him and praise him. And I thank him. God is so good to us, so good. Listen to what Hezekiah is saying in Isaiah 38:17-9. He says, lo, for my own welfare, I had great bitterness. It is you who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. Verse 18 and 19, it says, for Sheol cannot thank you, debt cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. It is the living who give thanks. It is who? Us, the living, that gives thanks to you as I do today. A father tells his sons about your faithfulness. Fathers, we have a responsibility, not just our sons, but our daughters, because he's been faithful. He has been so faithful to me, so faithful, so faithful. And it says, fathers, tell your sons about your faith. Father tells his sons about your faithfulness. Psalms 6:4-5. It says, return, O Lord. Listen to what David's saying. Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness, for there is no mention of you in debt, in Sheol. Who will give you thanks? Psalms 39. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Psalms 39:13. Turn your gaze away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. The dead, Psalms 115:17-18. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. You know, death is, you're dead. There's no, you're asleep, the scripture calls it. There's no praising him, but we have every opportunity right now to praise him every chance we get. It says, death is repeatedly referred to as a sleep or rest, both for the righteous and the wicked. Not just us, the wicked also. When they die, they dead. The only bad thing for them, they're going to stay dead. We're going to raise. In Job 3:11, 3:13 and 17, and Daniel 12:13. Job 3:11, why did I not die at birth? Come forth from the womb and expire. For now, Job 3:13, for now I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept then. I would have been at rest. In Job 3:17, there the wicked cease from raging, and there the weary are at rest. So it's not just the righteous that's going to sleep. The wicked will sleep also. Daniel 12:13, but as for you, go your way to the end, then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Wow. We will rest, but we will rise again for our allotted portion at the end of the age. The true doctrine of death in man's nature provides a great sense of peace. After all the traumas and pains of a man's life, the grave is a place of total oblivion. For those who have not known the requirements of God, this oblivion will last forever. That would be the wicked or the unrighteous. Their oblivion will last forever. And I put a definition, oblivion, the state of being unaware or unconscious of what is happening. They will have no more say-so. They will not know what's going on. They will sleep forever. The resurrection. The Bible emphasizes that the reward of the righteous will be at the resurrection, at the coming of Christ. What a reward. What a reward. 1 Thessalonians, there'll be no more sickness, no more aching, no more pain, no more sorrow. Oh, man, just what a time is going to be when we hear that trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The resurrection of the responsible dead will be the first thing Christ will do. This will be followed by the judgment. Paul said that if there is no resurrection, then all effort to be obedient to God is pointless. What Paul is saying, we're wasting our time. If there ain't no resurrection, what are we doing? It's hopeless. Hopeless to do what we're doing. But let's see what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 15:32. It says, if from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul would not have reasoned like this if he believed that he would also be rewarded with his soul going to heaven at death. He believed the resurrection of the body to be the only form of reward that we're going to have. The only form is the resurrection. The whole of 1 Corinthians 15 speaks in detail of the resurrection. It will always repay careful reading. If you haven't read 1 Corinthians 15, read it. Read that whole chapter. So powerful, so powerful. 1 Corinthians 15:33-44. It says, but some will say, how are the dead raised? But with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. 37 and 38. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wish, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. 41 and 42. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For the stars differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, but is raised an imperishable body. 43 and 44. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. You know, and you can, it's like planting a seed. That's what this is kind of explaining, what our body is going to be. When you put a seed in the ground, it raises us. And that's what we're going to do. That's what our body is going to go in the ground, and then it will raise. But when it raises, it's going to raise in glory. It's going to raise in honor, power, in a spiritual body. Christ rose from the grave and had his mortal body changed to an immortalized body. So the true believer will share this reward. Philippians 3:21 and 8:11, Romans 8:11, and John 6:43-44 talks about this. Philippians 3:21, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself? That's a good question. Who will transform the body? Listen, Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. John 6:43-44. Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Those who die in Christ. Let's see what it says. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So if we know somebody who has gone on, has fell asleep, but yet we know that they, you know, they feared, there was a God-loving person, they feared God, they obeyed his commandments. It says for us not to grieve. He said, don't grieve. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-16. It says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They will rise. He didn't. Nowhere in the scripture said they might, maybe, it depends. No, they will. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17-18, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. If we still here when he comes, you know, we're going to meet them in the air. And, you know, back again to that sleep. I said sleep that has no glorious, can't praise God. What a day that's going to be that we get to do that. Every day we get to do it. Romans 8:11. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. But if the spirit of him, Romans 8:11, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. With this hope, we therefore wait for the redemption of our body, Romans 8:23. Through that body being immortalized. Romans 8:23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Eagerly waiting. At his return, Christ shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3:20-21. Philippians 3:20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has given to subject all things to himself. A couple of more. Wow. That was 60 slides. Sufficient evidence has now been produced for us to bluntly state that the popular notion of the righteous going to a state of bliss and reward in heaven straight after their death is simply not found in the Bible. The purpose of our analysis is not just negative. By considering these points in detail, we believe that we will express many elements of Bible truth, which are vital parts of the picture concerning man's nature. And now, this is our last one. It says, our body is recreated and then given God's nature. You know, so this teaching that we went through, because everybody, if you listen to people, like Pastor said, and you're going to run into these conversations, you're going to, you know, just not too long ago, I was asked to do a funeral, and I was like, I can't, you know, because I just, the first thing they want to say is, oh, he's looking down on us right now. Well, I mean, if you really, the guy ain't looking down on us right now. Because assuming that he was in heaven is what they're saying. He just come from the club. Come on. So I was like, I can't. I got real nervous and I was like, no, I can't do it. My wife was like, well, they got you on the paper. I said, well, I can't. I didn't know what to tell them. But then here, like about 2 weeks later, Pastor come out with, God is so good. Because Pastor comes out with this teaching about the nature of man and how just scripture after scripture after scripture shows us that, you know, the righteous and the wicked, no distinction, you're dead. You're not up in heaven. You're in the ground and you're waiting to be risen. The righteous, not the wicked. The wicked's going to stay dead. There ain't no heaven. You ain't going to heaven. You ain't going to hell. Like you said, what is God trying to prove? To have somebody tormented in hell for the rest of their life. He doesn't. That's not the God we serve. He even so good to them. He's just going to let them sleep instead of them burning. But there was one slide in here that says about the true believers. And I was like, man, I wonder why he put true believers instead of just believers. And in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read just a couple of verses. He says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. A true believer is not going to believe in vain. And I was like, wow, God, you're so good. You're so good. Because whatever you think about, you can go find it in the scripture to clean up that thought that you have. It says, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, whole days, on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some has fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also, for I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called the apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labor even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. You know, Paul said he was not even to be called a prophet. He said, because he persecuted the church. But just like Pastor said, about that U-turn, when you make that U-turn, it's about having true repentance. And, you know, God is so good to us, so mindful, and just he's so, so, so good. I thank him for the scriptures that we can go to. I thank him for his word, his guidance. This is like a road map. This is... like our encyclopedia, whatever you want to put it, this is, it's all laid out for us. Whatever we're going through in life, whatever we face, we can go to His Word, and it'll explain it to us. And it's up to us to make that choice if we're going to U-turn or not. We can keep going that way if we want to, but it's trouble. So I just thank Him. I thank Him for the opportunity that He has graced me, and He has been so faithful to me that time and time again, He knew that He kept His hand upon my life, because He knew that one day that I was going to make that U-turn, it was going to be for good. And I thank Him for it. I tell you, He's so good to us, and what amazing God we serve. that's all I have. Let's not forget the announcements. Your Thursday night Bible study. Bible studies has been good. I know Pastor's going to add to this nature of man, I can guarantee you. Because it's so much. It's so much because He gave me some notes, and I was on like 40 or 45, 50 slides. And, just from this morning, I started digging more, and last night, and the more you dig, the more it comes up. It's just plain. One truth, like he said, truth leads to truth. Truth leads to truth. And it's so wonderful, so wonderful. So, Shavuot service, let's count the armor. That is day 50. That is exciting. That is exciting. You never, hey, day 50, that could be the day. We don't know. We don't know if that's going to be the day. So we got to stay on alert. Be ready. Be ready. We never know. Let's stand. I'm going to pray.